Country with your host, Dave Woods. This is the radio show where country music gets up close and personal.
Spend some time in the country and get to know our guests. Spend some time in the country where the music's the best. The latest news and memories, two great stories that get told.
Ontario country artist Ricky Knox has just released a new song to country radio called 6 Feet Under. She co-wrote the song with Willie Mack, who also produces the single and her upcoming album. Other co-writers on the project include Jason McCoy, Dwayne Steele, Jake Matthews, Patricia Conroy, and Troy Kokel. My pleasure now to welcome Ricky Knox to the show. Hey, Ricky.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. How about yourself?
I'm doing really good. Thank you.
Well, it is awesome to have you here, and let's give a shout-out to Debbie Wood for setting the interview up. Not only that, but also helping you get this single and your name out to country radio.
Yeah, Debbie's amazing. Hi, Deb. She's been wonderful.
So awesome, and I was noticing on your Twitter feed that there's a lot of ads for this song to radio stations, which is so awesome, right out of the box.
It's been amazing. I'm honestly overwhelmed. I didn't expect it. It's obviously something that we all hope for as artists releasing to radio. You never know what's going to happen, and just, you know, amazed and grateful, and it's been pretty cool.
That is so cool. What is some of the feedback you're getting on the song? I've read some of the reviews on it, but it's got such an edgy sound to it. It's a really cool sound, the new single, 6 Feet Under. What have you heard so far that people like about it?
Thanks, Dave. Well, first of all, thanks for that. I'm glad you like it. the feedback has been amazing. So people really, I guess there is that little bit of shock factor because it is different and it is edgy. But that was sort of the idea. I know we had talked in the past, and I was sort of on a fence about, you know, which song off of the album was going to come out as the first single. And 6 Feet Under really was a standout song for me in the sense that as far as writing it, you know, it was one of the most fun co-writes, and it definitely came out as being a song that it has edge, and not because I'm the co-writer on it, but I think it was really smartly written, and a lot of fun to sing, and a lot of fun to sing live. So I had a chance to try that out at a lot of shows over the course of the summer, especially, and the crowd was singing along with it right out of the first verse into the chorus, which was really amazing to see.
That's got to be a great way to test a song, if you know, to decide if it should go on an album or become a single. You play it at shows for a while, and I guess you've done that, and a lot of artists do that, and you judge by the feedback. If it goes well with the audience, then probably going to keep it.
Totally. Yeah, and that was a huge deciding factor for me. I did play a number of the songs off the forthcoming album at the live shows, and there was a toss-up between a couple of them, and that one was definitely a standout as far as just being really hooky and catchy, and I loved the response on people's faces because, again, there's that little bit of a shock factor. The song tells a story as it goes along, mm-hmm. and as the song, I went along singing it. It was amazing to watch people's faces, and the women were, you know, their faces lit right up, and they were smiling, and the men as well, so it was really cool to sort of watch the response from that.
Yeah. That is so cool. What are your live shows like? What can audiences expect, Ricky, when they see you perform?
Well, not a lot of downtime. I'm definitely a high-energy performer, so I'm all about just getting people, into the spirit and into, you know, just having a great time. So my goal is when people come out, people don't go out to shows as a rule, just to sit there and, you know, cross their legs and fingers. They're out there because they want to have a good time.
Right.
And so that's always my goal. And that was my goal going into the writing process as well. As I mentioned, I'm a high energy person. And when I'm on the stage, I really like to use that to my advantage. And I'm picking songs that are, obviously I have my, you know, ballads and my songs that people can get up and dance to. But, I just love to be able to work the stage and work the crowd. So a good time, I guess, in essence, just a good time all around.
Awesome. Now, on the writing front on this album, I mentioned the names off the top, the songwriters, and I mean, it's a list of who's who in songwriting, because these people are all responsible for big hit songs. Willie Mack, who's also the producer, co-wrote that single. Jason McCoy's on there, Dwayne Steele, Jake Matthews, Patricia Carmeroy, Troy Kokel. I mean, maybe let's go down the list and you can talk a little bit about each, because they all deserve some time. They're all such big names. Maybe Jason McCoy, what was it like writing with him?
Oh, Jason's a blast. I know we had spoken about him before. He's amazing. He's just a good time Charlie, and it's just fun to be in his presence. You know, he's just so full of life, and
right.
There really isn't a dull moment. And he's a brilliant writer in the sense that he's been doing it, obviously, for a while. And I'm the fresh blood, really, when I'm writing with people like Willie and Jason, who really have a long history of success in songwriting and in the business. And so I've learned a lot from them, but as far as a person, he's a barrel of laughs. I love Jason.
And I mean, as host of the CMAOs last year, and he's back again this year, just amazing as a host, funny as anything, and talented with the song parodies and everything he did.
Absolutely. Yeah, as I mentioned, there's no downtime with him. The only downtime we had is when our Skype went down because he was getting some bad service out in Nashville. But outside of that, there really is no downtime with Jason.
That's hilarious. Now, what about Dwayne Steele? I've always loved Dwayne's voice, got a great solid voice and a great writer as well. What was it like working with Dwayne?
Dwayne's an amazing human being. Going into that songwriting session, it was different than with Jason. It was sort of wide open, and when we wrote with him, and we didn't know where we were going. But when we sat down to write with Dwayne, the goal was to write a song. I was looking for a song that sort of fit the mold of Miranda Lambert's The House That Built Me. And I wanted something with an emotional edge. Yeah, and amazingly enough, going into a writing session, as you know, you don't always walk away with what you set out to accomplish. And in this case, we absolutely did. I'd already been to Nashville twice and recorded for the album. And so going into that session, it was obviously, you know, a possibility that the song would end up on the album.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd already done the legwork. So and it ended up being just this amazing song. And I'm going to tell you a little secret. So I'm currently right now with the album already preset for release in the studio, finishing up that song as we speak. So it's going to land on this album, which wasn't an expectancy, but now it's going to be there. So that's pretty darn exciting.
Oh, man, that is so cool. I was actually just listening to, I love that song, The House That Built Me, and I actually was watching the video on YouTube today. I just was looking around at different songs, and, you know, I was just reminded again what a well-written and beautiful song that is.
It truly is. You know, my dad, I remember him saying to me, he was driving down the road one day, and he said he had to pull over on the side of the road, and just stopped him dead in his tracks, and he pulled over and he listened to that song. So maybe that is... that was embedded into my mind when I set out to write for the album. I wanted a song like that. And as I'd mentioned to you before, my dad, he's always been that guy in the background that, you know, he's the one that directed me in songwriting from day one. So if he loves that song, and we all do, you know, that's something that I wanted to accomplish as well.
Oh, that's wonderful. Jake Matthews, great artist, great songs that he's had. What was it like writing with Jake?
Oh, Jake is great. No, he's great as well. Well, we're talking about some of the best songwriters in Canada, and I think the reason that they're so good is not only the fact that they're talented as songwriters, but they're also just amazing human beings. And I'm not sure if I mentioned this to you before in the past, but if so, I'll say it again. You really see, you know, they filter out as they climb further to the top like anything else, and the ones that are accomplished are not only talented at what they do, but they're just amazing human beings, and that's what sets them apart.
Pretty amazing, and we'll get to the other two. We'll get to Patricia and Troy a bit later. We'll talk about them specifically, but there's a quote in your bio, and we've talked about this before. You not only grew up a country girl, but you grew up as one of the guys, is your quote. Now, how did that form you growing up as one of the guys?
That's funny, yeah. Well, I had a... and it's so true. My older brother is about a year, and I think we're about 18 months apart. So growing up, I was always just really close with him and his friends. I was close with him, and then obviously in turn his friends, and just naturally became one of the guys raised by our father. And I don't know if that just made me a, probably is a big reason that I'm such a strong personality, but I think it also adds a little bit of edge and a, you know, maybe take no crap attitude in a sense.
Yeah.
But definitely when it came to the songwriting, growing up country, I was really that girl that grew up learning to drive, stick driving the field truck and you know, out on the dirt bikes and building big jumps out of grass clippings with our mountain bikes, jumping over them. And I'm surprised that we survived it, but we did.
Yeah, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, I guess.
Absolutely.
Now, I love the quote that Willie Mack had to say about you as an artist. She's Jagger, Joplin, Haggard, and Dolly, all wrapped into one with a fresh new sound. Those are pretty big names in there, and I think you probably take influence from most of them. I know Dolly and Haggard for sure. Maybe talk about some of those influences. And first of all, isn't that great? What a great thing of Willie Mack to say.
Totally flattered when I got that from him. Yeah, he's amazing. He was a believer in what I do from the beginning, which really made a huge difference going into the writing process with him again and then going to the studio and having him producing the album. Those are absolutely strong influences for me. And I know there are some points where in this business, especially today, country music has changed. The dynamics of country music has changed so much. And there's definitely that struggle and that, you know, it's hard to define where you stand as an artist in country music. Country isn't what country was. And so to stay true to traditional country, you don't necessarily have a place. And I think that, you know, I have a bit of a rock edge, I suppose, and I stay true to my roots because it's something that's so deeply embedded in me. And if I can't be who I truly am, then I'm not going to, I wouldn't bother with it. I just want to be true to myself, and that's certainly, you know, the Dolly and the Haggard, you know, that's what I grew up on. So I'll never lose that sense of myself.
Yeah, and I think you must find with your audiences that although they do, of course, love the new stuff and the new sound, they love to hear whether it's an actual song from a Haggard or Dolly Parton, or at least a song that sounds like that. They still crave hearing country-sounding songs, right?
For sure. Yep. Well, there's something for everyone, right? There's a niche market for everyone. I think that people just relate to real. So whether there's a little bit of twang in there or, you know, there doesn't necessarily have to be that touch of pop, or I know there's some rap thrown into some country today, which is cool. I mean, to each his own, and I think it's great that people are stepping outside of the box and trying new things, and it's working for them, and I'm just, you know, I'm definitely cheering for everyone, every artist out there that's trying something different, and again, if it's successful, then even better. But I just think people crave real music, real lyrics, and I think that's really important to stay true to that.
Something they can relate to, and they can find themselves in the song, a point they've been at in life. Let's talk about 6 Feet Under. So I'm about to play it, and we mentioned co-written by Willie Mack, who also produces the whole album, this song and the whole album. Maybe take us into the writing process, like where the idea came from or how, you know, how you moved the song along to its final form.
I never know how to tell this story. I've been asked it enough times. I don't know how to even begin with this one. So really going into, I always say there must have been a down point in my relationship, perhaps.
Right.
My better half didn't take out the garbage the night before or something. So going into the right the next, that morning, we just, you know, we're sitting there via Skype, Willie over in Texas and me sitting here in Ontario. And he had asked me, you know, so what are you feeling today? Like, what do you want to write about? And I'm not sure where it came from, but I said, I want a song about the end of a relationship, but I want it to be a really strong, powerful woman song. And how we ended up with 6 Feet Under from that statement, I'm not sure. You know, somehow the hook, 6 Feet Under, came into the conversation, and then it was just a really fun write from that point. We had a lot of fun with it, And as I said, I'm extremely pleased with the way it turned out. I think it's one of the most brilliantly written songs on the album. And it definitely did everything I was hoping it was going to do.
Awesome. Well, we also know that it's getting great attention at radio, getting added to stations and more of them as we speak. So that's awesome, and I'll let our listeners know they can head to rickynox.com to sign up for your newsletter and to learn more about you. It's a great-looking website, by the way, Ricky. I mean, websites, I think, make a difference as far as an impression, and that is a really solid-looking one.
Thanks, Dave. I appreciate that. Yeah, I think that's important, too.
Yeah.
Images is everything.
Exactly, the image, part of the branding, all that good stuff. Let's hear that song now. My guest, Ricky Knox, and her brand new one, 6 Feet Under, on In the Country. Country artist Ricky Knox, and that is her brand new single now at country radio, so be sure to call your local country station and request it. It's called 6 Feet Under, and yeah, the writing on it, I mean, it's catchy as anything, but the lyrics in it, it just follows that hook so well and just captures all the images of 6 Feet Under. It's awesome.
Thanks, Dave. I'm glad you like it.
I do, man. That is a great song. I can't wait to hear the rest of the album. Any timeline, Ricky, right now on when the whole album is going to be available?
Well, as I mentioned, there's this one last song that we're tying up the loose ends on. I'm really hoping within the next couple of months, so there is a solid date to be determined at this point. So I can't give you a date per se, but very, very near in the future. I've got a great support base of fans and people that are following my music, and they've been, I get messages on the daily from people wondering where and when they can purchase the album. So the sooner I get it out, the better, but I definitely want to make sure that it's all encompassing and that, you know, all of my favorite tracks are on there, because you know, it's the story of who I am as an artist and a person. I want to make sure, as I said, that, you know, it's all on there, and that the people that are buying the album are going to get their value and really be able to see, again, who I am as an artist and a songwriter.
And you've done a ton of writing on this. Are there any songs, Ricky, on it that are, or did you consider any from outside writers, ones that you didn't have any involvement in writing?
Well, Willie is amazing as a songwriter, as you know, and so there were a couple of songs that I fought with myself on, a couple of songs that I heard in the early writing sessions, and he was sending me, you know, sort of ideas to get a feel for where I was wanting to go, and is it kind of a song like this, or is it kind of a feel like that? And there were a few of his songs that I went, oh, that's exactly. And one of those songs I grabbed a hold of, and we did record that one when I was down in Nashville. So there is one song that will tentatively land on the album that is not one that I wrote, but outside of that, I had a hand in writing all of them.
Terrific. Let's talk a bit about Ralph Murphy. You had a chance to meet him, and maybe before that, but I know that you hung out with him at the CMAO Road to Independent Conference, which took place last November. I was there. It was an awesome weekend with all different kinds of seminars about everything to do with the music business from the CMAO. But Ralph Murphy was there talking about songwriting. What did you learn from Ralph, and what have you learned from him about writing better songs?
Well, I have Ralph's book, and it's something that I'll take time, just when I'm out on the treadmill, even in the gym, that's one of my reads. I open up that book and I go over and over and over his ideas and his concepts. And as you know, Ralph is a brilliant songwriter and also just an amazing person. But really, as far as writing a hit song, which is what his focus is on, and as you know, he really doesn't have a filter when it comes to letting people know they've either got a hit or they don't. Which is awesome. I love how forward he is, but definitely there are certain guidelines that you need to follow. And if you go into writing a song, it's got to be less personal. I mean, you do have to have that personal attachment to the song, especially as the artist that's singing it. It's extremely important to have that. But at the same point, you have to step outside of yourself and really think about your audience and who you're writing for, who's going to be listening to it, how can they relate to that song once it's written, and I think that's really important, again, as the songwriter and the artist, to be able to stand back and look at it from an outside perspective.
That makes so much sense, because as the writer, if you're too close to the song, it makes sense to you, it makes sense to your co-writer, but maybe it's not going to make sense to that audience. So that is a great pointer. And as you said, Ralph is very honest, and you need to be, right? I mean, from his end of things, he is trying to make that song the best it can be, so there's no real time for being too kind or too nice, because let's make this song at any cost. Now, when you hear whatever criticism, constructive criticism, Ricky, on songs, are you pretty good at taking that if somebody says this could be better or this could be stronger, however they word it?
Absolutely. You know, that's something that I think really stems from my upbringing. I had a father that was really not hard on me by any means. He was extremely supportive, but definitely told it like it was. And I think it's important to be able to take that and learn and grow from it. And I found that being a part of this business, that you get a lot of that. And I think that if you allow for it to get under your skin, then you can think pretty quickly. You really need to be open to other people's opinions. At the same time, stay true to yourself, but definitely be open to other people's opinions, especially people that have experience. And when it comes to songwriting, there are people, it truly is an art, and there are people that have spent the time and really honed their craft, and I think it's really important to take pointers from them. And I'm the first person to say, yeah, that was absolute crap. You're right. Thank you so much for pointing that out. Let's go back and try that again.
Yeah, that's funny. But, you know, to get to that great song, you've got to do that, and you've got to be realistic and honest with yourself if somebody else isn't telling it to you. But I love that. So rewriting is a big part of writing, obviously, Ricky.
I think so. Absolutely. Yeah. I think there are times where, you know, you write something and you go back to it and you listen to it and think, man, what was I thinking in that moment? I think it's important when you're writing to get the thoughts out. And I think that if you're on a roll, to spend too much time sometimes on a certain point or a word or a rhyme can be a deterrent. I think it's important just to get, you know, the words down on paper and then revisit it after the fact and sort of your own quality control. But in the moment, just to sort of get the idea down is imperative.
Yeah. Yeah, if you start to censor yourself and are either uncomfortable with if you've got other writers around, whatever that censor is going on, you're going to hold back potentially good ideas because you're afraid to say them out loud or write them down.
For sure. And you know, too, it really, the emotion. I think a lot of the time it can be, now depending on who you're writing with, and that's where it becomes so important that you're comfortable with your co-writers. The more comfortable you are, the more you can bring to the table, I think. Or the more that, you know, if you're capable of allowing yourself just to be, I'm an open book. My co-writers would tell you that I'm a completely open book, and I just, right. I don't hold anything back, and I just think it's really important to be completely open with your emotions and your ideas and lay it all out there. And I think from that you can pick up the pieces and put together a great puzzle.
Great way of putting it. You've got a show coming up for anyone listening who wants to head out to the Bourbon Barrel Saloon in Peterborough. It's coming up February 13th. They'll be able to hear your new single there and just find out what you are as a live artist. So that's pretty cool. It's coming up in about 2 weeks from now.
That's right, February 13th. We go on, I believe it's 9 o'clock, and it's going to be a heck of a night. I'm looking forward to it.
Now, in your shows, any currently cover songs you do, and what would those ones be, Ricky?
Well, I do. I do a lot of cover songs, depending on the venue and the time frame. So I do anything from the popular classics to the currents. Big fan of a lot of Miranda Lambert stuff, and obviously Carrie Underwood and sort of that side of the female country, female artists. So
right.
I like covering their stuff. I like covering
the
high energy.
Have you done Mama's Broken Heart yet?
Absolutely. I love doing that song. It's great.
Yeah, cool song. And what are some of those others you were going to mention?
Just, you know, anything that's high energy. I'll go right from Sweet Home Alabama to Before He Cheats. You know, pull out some Merle, pull out some Patsy. It all depends on the venue. It depends on the crowd. Mm-hmm. You know, I really just play it by the audience and what they're looking for, and just got a big hat of songs that we can pull different numbers out of. So
that's
it
great.
Depends,
and
like
I bet
said, on the people there.
Yeah. On the people, and I bet your show, like a lot of country shows, bring in audiences from a young age to a much older age.
For sure. Absolutely. There's a broad spectrum of people. Again, I think that's why it's so important to make sure that you sort of cover all the bases and you're aware of who's in the crowd and what they're looking for. And it's really important for me as an artist to make sure that everyone in the crowd is happy and is getting their fill. So, you know, if I've got people out there, and it's amazing to watch. There are, you've got your 19-year-old, I was going to say 18, but clearly you have to be 19 to be in the crowd. You've got your 19-year-olds that really appreciate Johnny Cash. You know, they
right.
love it, and if they've never heard it before, there's just something that it goes across the ages. It doesn't matter how long ago that song was brought forward or, you know, what era it's from, people still feel that, and that's where those classic songs are still really well received by any age.
Mm-hmm. That is amazing that a 19-year-old today has gotten into and gets into Johnny Cash, you know, classic country like that. But it, as you said, it's the timelessness of that music that there's something about it they love, still love.
Absolutely. Well, it's a good sound. I think a lot of it, as long as they can move their feet on the dance floor, then that's
right.
half the battle.
Yeah,
it's all
exactly.
about the energy you put into the song, too, right? So,
yeah.
But it's really amazing
it's
to watch the reception.
Yeah, it's got to be cool, too, if you're playing it for some of the classic stuff for audience members who are younger who haven't heard it before, and now you are sort of introducing them to a Johnny Cash song or a Patsy Cline song, and because you're singing it, they like it, but they didn't know it before.
It's amazing to watch. It really is. Like I said, you see them, you know that they don't know the song. And quite often I'll say, okay, do you know this? You know, I love to interact with the audience. So, and I'll ask them, and they're sort of, sometimes it's like a deer in headlights, and the next thing you know, the dance floor is completely filled up, and they're going crazy, and they love it. So, again, it's all about the energy that you bring. So, for me, being the, you know, the one up there singing the songs, the energy that's brought forward, and it's just a great song. And like you said, it's timeless. So, anyone can appreciate that.
Yes, exactly. That's why those songs have stuck around. And we talked about some of the songwriters on the album before who have co-written with you. And now let's talk about a couple more of them. Patricia Conroy. Everybody knows Patricia and all and her songs as an artist on the radio. And, of course, all the songs she's co-written with, you know, Jimmy Rankin. And right now a song with Bobby Wills called Undressed. And her great harmonies are on near the end of that song. Love that song. What was it like writing with Patricia?
Patricia's a blast. So again, like I mentioned, I can't say this enough. Just an amazing human being and funny as can be. Great ideas. Really great ideas. She is another one. She's an open book. You know, just it's amazing to watch people like Patricia and the song that we wrote when I was in Nashville. It was with Patricia and Willie. And just to throw out ideas. And sometimes, you know, we'll laugh at the ideas, and sometimes we're like, yeah, it's amazing. But it's really cool to have co-writers that are just so open to throwing out different ideas and different concepts. And I believe at that time, I think she might have come in with the hook, which was an amazing hook idea. And we just had a lot of fun with it. It was a great experience.
And I bet with Patricia and with all the other writers on the album, as you said, well, we all know they're very experienced writers, and you said you're not at at that level in that sense, but they must have a structure and a way of moving things along, so you're not going to waste a lot of time with them, even though it's going to be laughs. I bet they know how to get a song from A to Z in a pretty good amount of time.
They truly do. You know, going into this, I have to say, I was schooled. I really thought that I knew what I was doing when I first started writing with people like Willie, and he's a big one for me because I wrote the majority of the album with him. And he definitely, you know, he was very honest with me about certain aspects of the writing process. But going into it, I really thought that I knew what I was doing. I've always been pretty good with words, and I thought I had that sort of under my belt. I was pretty confident, and I learned very quickly that I had a long way to go, but I was able to cover a lot of ground in a short period of time, and I'm grateful, again, for someone like Willie in my life that really, you know, directed me and showed me the right path and the right way to write, because there certainly is a formula, and I definitely think, like I said, I've come leaps and bounds from who I was as a songwriter even a year ago.
Isn't that amazing to know that you've had that growth and that now you're writing better songs? And it's, and that's, you know, as you, it takes time, right? It's something you start out with a natural talent, but the more time you spend at it and learn about it, the better songs you're going to write.
For sure. And you can truly see it's like a night and day comparison.
That's a great thing to see. Now, let's talk about the other writer on the list here, Troy Kokol from Alberta. He's written a ton of great songs and supports a lot of songwriters and artists. What was it like working with Troy? I bet that was a lot of fun as well.
Oh, Troy is an absolute blast. Now, he's one of my favorites. I'd have to say Troy and Willie and I, as co-writers together, we've come up with some pretty amazing material. There are a number of songs that actually didn't make the album only because you can't put 25 songs on a single album, but
right.
Definitely
the double
album. Have a exactly. Definitely have a handful of songs going forward into the second one that we wrote with Troy. And Troy's awesome. I know the one song that I did with the first song I wrote alone with Troy, just him and I, we were down in Nashville. I was there my first time around recording for the album. And that night that we were scheduled to write together, there was a tornado that had gone through locally. And I remember there were sirens everywhere. We were out for dinner. I was out with friends pre-scheduled write with Troy. And so we got in contact with each other and just said, you know what, it's probably not going to happen. You know, there is a tornado going through, so we might have to cancel the write. But I was driving home the next morning back home to Ontario. So, of course, I really wanted to make that happen. And I guess being the crazy country girl that I am, once the warnings were off and the alarm mm-hmm. stopped sounding, I said, you know, let's go for it. Let's do this. So we ended up meeting up, and we came up with an amazing song, and I'm so glad that we did manage to get together that night. So it was just awesome to be able to just come together and realize that, man, we write really, really well together. We had written mm-hmm. with Willie, I believe, that day or the day before, and another song that is on the album. So, yeah, it was really – he's awesome. He's very easy to write with and just a great – he's a character and just a great guy.
That is so cool. What a great list of songwriters here, all great people, all great writers. Out of those songs, and you mentioned you had more than enough for the album, around 25, Ricky, are any of those songs ones that when they were done you thought, man, why don't we – maybe one of these is pitchable to another artist, and maybe there's one that sounds perfect for either Miranda Lambert or Terry Clark or whoever. Any of those come to mind from that catalog?
Absolutely. You know, it's funny you say that. I woke up, I had a dream one night, funny enough. I woke up and I had dreamt that one of the songs that I wrote with Troy and Willie was being pitched to Reba.
Oh, wow.
So in the back of my mind, I must have thought that it was a perfect song for her. Selfishly, I'm hoping to save it for the second album, but I certainly wouldn't say no if Reba wanted to put it on.
If Reba gave the call.
That's right. Exactly.
That is so cool, man. And dreams come true. So that's, you maybe that was a premonition of some kind.
Well, one can only hope. I'll keep that one in my back pocket and keep praying. That would be pretty awesome.
Exactly. That would be so cool. I mean, anytime an artist picks up a song that you've written, on whatever level they are, that's obviously a compliment that they've chosen that song out of all the songs they could choose. So that is very cool. Now let's talk a bit about Nashville, because you last year we're going back to trips between Toronto and Nashville to get and Western Canada to get this album ready. What was Nashville like for you?
Nashville was an amazing experience. I have to say, since I've been back, I definitely have withdrawals. I've been online sort of shopping around for houses in Nashville.
Houses,
I think
nice.
That once you get bitten by the Nashville bug, it doesn't let go. I know you were there as well. I'm not sure if you can relate to that. But as a singer and songwriter, you just feel like you come home when you go there.
Mm-hmm.
So Nashville is amazing, and I would love to spend as much time as humanly possible there. But being there and there's just something about the energy, I think, in the air when you're down there. Writing, certainly, I found that really helped in the writing process, and then being able to record down there was a dream come true. And the band that is playing on the album, I have three of the guys that play on the show Nashville, Chuck Tilley on drums, who's also playing, he's a touring drummer right now for Alabama, John Howard on bass, and Steve Mandel on guitar, and they're both on the show Nashville, just stellar guys and unbelievable musicians, which you can hear in the album and the songs. And so that was pretty darn cool to be able to hang with those guys and have them put their amazing touches on the album.
Oh,
so
that's awesome.
Nashville was, very successful.
And are there certain venues, Ricky, when you're down there that you have to go to each time?
Well, every time I've been down there, to be honest, I've been working. I've been in work mode, so I don't get a whole lot of time to go out and play. But, and I mean play as in the sense of just going and hanging out. But, the band, they play, they do a thing over at Third and Lindsley monthly, so we're able to go there. And they had some of the stars from the show Nashville. They get up and play, and they always have some star performers come out and play with them. So, you know, I'm thinking for my next trip there, I want to make sure I time it right so I can go and check them out, because they've become great friends. And, again, they're just unbelievable musicians, and they're just amazing to watch. So anyone heading to Nashville, check them out at Third and Lindsley. They're pretty darn good.
Awesome. Any plans for a video for either this song or any upcoming song from the album? You got a video in the works?
Why, yes, I do, Dave.
I'm bringing out all the good stuff here.
You do. You always dig so deep.
I had a
sometimes
hunch.
Sometimes they're a thing, though. Yeah, there definitely is a plan in the works.
Good.
I won't say too much on that end right now, okay. But I won't even tell you for which song, 6 feet under, that there might be a video for. But, yes, it's in the works for sure.
Oh, that's awesome. Because, I mean, you've got a great look, obviously, and so in a video you're going to look amazing. Do you think you'll be comfortable in front of the camera? And I mean, I'm sure you will, but how do you think the video shoot would go for you?
It's funny. I haven't really had a lot of time to think about that. I think in the moment you just roll the punches and hope for the best outcome.
Yep.
But I will tell you, when I was in high school, I signed up just for an extra credit to be a part of the one-act plays, and I won the Best Supporting Actress role, so I'm hoping that that's going to serve me when it comes to doing music videos.
Look at that. You've got some past experience. One-act plays, what kind of role did you play, or what roles?
The role that I played in that particular play, it was, I can't think of the name of the woman, but she was definitely boisterous and full of life, and I think that probably served me playing the part. But I do remember, it's funny, I had this conversation just recently with someone about that, and I said, it's an amazing experience because going into it, you're not sure if you're going to be able to undertake that role, and then in the moment, you just become that person. And I've always thought it was amazing to watch, you know, the actors and actresses on the big screen, and how do they become a different role each time? You know, it's just an amazing talent. And and I just remember it was almost like an out-of-body experience. You just really become that person in that moment. And I think if you can do that, that's when the audience feels it, and you just really undertake that role and become whoever it is that you're acting out.
Yeah, that's really cool. Now, what, Ricky, for 2015, as we just started the year now, and of course the album is going to be coming out in a few months, what do you hope to accomplish during this year with your music career?
Oh, man, that's a big question, Dave. Honestly, I want to get the music out to my fans. Again, I've had such an amazing, it's been a pretty amazing ride. I'm really, I'm just thrilled with the outcome of the album, and I can't wait to share it with everybody. I love getting out and playing live, so, you know, obviously that will come in turn with releasing the music. I have a bunch of stuff coming up for the summer, and really just getting the music out, and like I said, the hope is just that people receive it well, and moving forward, I'm already thinking about album number two before album number one is released, so... You always hope I hope that people love these songs as much as I do, because there was certainly a lot of time and thought put into them, and I just hope that the people that have been as supportive as they have been to me are really going to appreciate that.
Well, it's going to be great to hear that album when it comes out. Of course, 6 Feet Under is the new single, which is getting lots of ads at radio and will continue to spread. And our listeners can help by calling their local country stations and asking to hear 6 Feet Under by Ricky Knox. And the website, again, aptly named rickyknox.com. People can find out those tour dates and everything you mentioned. Ricky, thanks so much for being here. Always a pleasure. And I wish you all the best with the album.
You too, Dave. Thank you again for having me.
Always a pleasure. Once again, my guest has been Ontario country artist Ricky Knox. I'm Dave Woods, and that'll wrap up this edition of In the Country.